Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Can you really even say climate change in Congress without Ed Markey's name popping up in a wall or something like that?
That's a great question. I think what I would say is that Ed Markey has been beating this drum for decades now.
Scientists have warned us about the danger of climate change for years. The world is warming. Sea levels are rising. Storms like Sandy are more extreme.
He was one of the most visible advocates for climate action when he was in the House. He was in the House for many, many decades. He was one of the leading faces of the cap and trade push during the first couple of years of the Obama administration, along with former Congressman Henry Waxman. And then in recent times, he's been able to kind of reinvent himself as somebody who has quite a bit of cachet with millennials by leading the Green New Deal resolution push alongside Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Ed Markey introduced their Green New Deal
to stop climate change and create millions of good jobs.
He's one of the most visible faces on climate change on Capitol Hill. No question.
Hey, Senator, how are you?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How about yourself?
I can't complain. I was up late last night, not as late as you were.
So when you guys are looking at this, when do you decide to pack it in? When do you guys just say, oh my God, how long is this going to last?
I'm Carlos Prieto. This is Politico Energy. Today, Anthony Andragna's conversation with longtime climate hog, Senator Ed Markey, on the road ahead for climate policy and the lessons learned 10 years since the last climate congressional failure. It's Tuesday, February 9th. So he's been for a long time a climate change advocate in Congress, but probably one of his biggest attempts at addressing the issue was about a decade ago with Waxman Markey. Can you tell me a little bit about that bill and what happened?
Yeah, so this was in the first year of the Obama administration. And Waxman and Markey, their push for a cap-and-trade system, they thought there would be a way to kind of make everybody happy. They were able to cobble together enough votes in the House to actually get that legislation passed by the midpoint of 2009. But the Senate ended up being a roadblock there, and the legislation was never enacted. So one of the things that Senator Markey told me this time is the importance of moving quickly. He wants Democrats to seize the fact that they control both chambers of Congress right now and to advance legislation swiftly, because if they wait till 2022, he sees it as a lot harder to actually advance something.
What did he tell you about what he's learned in the past decade and how he views the party's approach to climate policy and how it should be this time around?
So it's pretty interesting. He told me that one of the things he took away from Waxman Markey was, he said, you know, that bill had the most sustained lobbying against it of any bill in history. And so he said his takeaway was you need to have a mass mobilization, a movement is what he called it, of people behind your legislative approach.
What I decided that we needed, and that's why I partnered with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is that we needed a movement. We needed our own political muscle that we were going to bring into this fight.
And that's what he was hoping to achieve alongside AOC with the Green New Deal resolution. And he said it's been quite gratifying to see Obama-era officials now talking about climate action in the context of environmental justice and the intersectionality of a lot of these issues.
So now, for the Biden administration, you know, the key test for a climate package will be, does it center justice and repair harms to communities? Does it avoid false solutions?
That's why he's feeling more optimistic about being able to get something across the finish line.
And you talked to him sometime last week after Voterama, if I remember, when senators took more than 500 votes. It really must have shown him how the dynamics in his party have changed, especially on issues like climate change.
So I think it's important to remind people that even 10 years ago, there were a lot of conservative Democrats left in Congress. There were blue dogs in the House, conservative Democrats in the Senate, and it was very hard to find party consensus on how to address climate change. Now, with the very notable exception of Joe Manchin, who is going to remain the most eyed vote in the Senate for whatever Democrats are able to do, Markey and other Democrats that I've spoken to really feel like the party has coalesced around this idea of taking big, bold, ambitious action.
You have to feel pretty good about how Leader Schumer has been talking about these issues and placing them very much front and center in his, you know, opening rhetoric, and how everything he talks about seems to be about climate. That's got to be a good feeling for you in terms of actually getting some of this stuff accomplished.
Chuck Schumer has been great on these issues. Chuck Schumer has been a real voice for fundamental change.
And I think that's what Markey feels is different. The party is able to march with a much more unified approach, and not just unified, but unified around this idea of going big, which is certainly not where people were a decade ago.
So in terms of actual proposals and ideas, does he have any particular policy that he sees coming through, something like cap and trade or something like a carbon tax or something like that, that he thinks would be the most realistic path forward to fight climate change and for Democrats to get through?
Yeah, this is one of the more interesting parts of the interview. In my mind, Senator Markey said very clearly that he thinks a clean energy standard is the way to go. And he very much endorsed this idea that it can be done through reconciliation.
Sector-wide solutions like a clean energy standard can help enact the Biden campaign promise of moving toward 100% carbon-free electricity sector by 2035. And there's a strong case to be made that this policy proposal can be done through reconciliation.
I'm going to be watching in the next couple of weeks to see if that idea gets further cachet with other Democrats, whether this becomes sort of a party consensus position. But Markey certainly said clean energy standard is a better way of achieving Biden's goals at emissions reductions while also being able to incorporate environmental justice principles.
So as Democrats are trying to navigate the next couple of years and trying to get legislation through, do you think leadership is going to be listening to Markey even at the same level as they're going to be listening to someone like Joe Manchin, who's the chairman of the Energy Committee? Or how do you think that relationship is going to work?
It's a great question. I think what I'd say is, you know, I don't know if Senator Markey is going to be the one specifically that leadership is going to feel like they have to take their nods from. But the Sunrise Movement, the progressive left, party leadership in the Senate definitely feel like they're not going to be able to ignore the concerns and the desires of groups like that. And so I think that the fact that those concerns, the concerns of the progressive base of Democrats, are going to be at the table, that's something that at least Senator Markey has played a role in building that. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your daily fix on the Biden administration, Congress, and power in 2021, subscribe to Politico Playbook, the unofficial guide to official Washington, on politico.com/playbook. I'm Anthony Adragna. Talk to you tomorrow.
Last year, Chevron invested billions of dollars to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America. Because it's only human to work toward a brighter future. Learn more at chevron.com.